Institute Demons from Lui Dumnezeu, Matthew's chapter 6, starting with verse 25 to 34. Matthew's in Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying by worrying at a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen.
Amen.
Now, previous messages to you have been about the calling to worship, about being a soldier in God's army. Well, now we're kind of moving on to the next step, is preparedness, being prepared. And over the next several weeks, I hope to be able to speak to you from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And these are very fully loaded, very important chapters in the Bible. And the main reason they are because they're actually in the Bible where Jesus is actually the preacher and not a teacher. You see, we all are good at teaching, but then we wanted to let Jesus be the preacher. So tonight, I hope that he's the one speaking to you and to me as I was preparing this message. Several weeks ago, when I was asked to prepare for tonight, a different topic came to my mind. But then over the last couple of weeks, this topic has changed. It all started with my flat tire, just kind of as an idea. But a lot of things have happened in the world, and our world is changing rapidly. More people are diagnosed with cancer. There's more psychiatric condition, depression, anxiety, and more people lose their faith. Have you noticed that? A lot of people just leave the church and leave the Word of God, and they lose their faith. Whether they're seminaries or missionaries or teachers, we've seen a rapid turnover of this of the faith. Everyone in the world, my friends, even my family, have been upset and expecting something to happen in the near future. Many of us don't know what that is exactly yet, but everyone seems to be worried, anxious, and fearful that something has to happen. At this time, everyone is getting ready and prepared for something. My question to you tonight is, what are you preparing for? Let's see how we... What are you preparing for? Well, see, the world is preparing for a financial meltdown. United States is facing the inevitable stock market crash. The Eastern world is preparing for most likely World War III. People have been told, and some have even stocked 6 months of food, gas, and water supply in their basement or their house. I ask you tonight, what are you preparing for? I want to clarify, tonight's message is not about Armageddon and the end of the world or the second coming of Christ. I'll tell you, Jesus is coming. We know that already. We're getting closer and closer to his coming. But tonight, this message is about the perspective of what is it worth preparing for. Is everything worth preparing for? Is school worth preparing for? Is work worth preparing for? What is the most important thing that is worth preparing for? And then, is it causing you anxiety? In Matthew 6:25,
Jesus says, don't worry about your life. You are a child of God and you are in his hands. In Peter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, call all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Furthermore, in Hebrew 4, verse 15 says, we learned that Christ feels our weakness. I thought about this, and imagine this. Your Father in heaven knows and feels your troubles. He feels your pain, and he knows when you're weak. And only he can help you and redeem you. What an amazing God we have. He takes care of all of us and our needs. But let's go one step further. Why do we worry? Well, because we lack faith. There's a couple of chapters in Hebrews 11. We're going to go there. Hebrews 11, chapter 11, starting with verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God has taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to the place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Well, see, when it comes to Abraham, Enoch, Abel, these guys cared about godly things more than they cared about worldly things. They cared about God than their selfishness, their pride. See, we need to let God and let God take control of our life and not give in to the selfishness. So why do we worry? Because we lack faith. This brings me to a big concern. In Luke 18:8, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I thought about this a little bit. Well, see, Jesus didn't ask this question just to ask a question. He didn't ask this question just to seem intelligent. This is a warning sign. Our world lacks something today. And if it lacks anything, it's faith. We live in a world of information. We are highly intelligent. Trust me. Most people are so educated. I mean, there's people that come into my practice in my office. They already know everything about the disease there is to know. But see, the problem is that we lack something. We know everything, but we believe in nothing. And that is faith. We are the ye men of little faith. This is a warning for us, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, we are never going to see the face of God. And that's where the fear is. So what are we preparing for? We should not worry about it. We need to put our faith in God that he will provide. Well, see, there's a story that an elderly woman loved God so much that she wanted to tell everyone. So every time she would get outside the house on her porch, she would say, praise be to God. He is amazing. Praise be to God. Well, her neighbor was an atheist. And he didn't believe in God and says, and every time she would say, praise be to God, he'd say, there's no God. There is no God. Well, the woman kept going and going. And after a few weeks and months, she had a little bit of a hard time. She was lacking a little bit of finances, money. She couldn't get her groceries. So she got outside and started saying, praise be to God. Praise be to God. But Lord, I'm a servant of yours, but I need some groceries. I need some food. I need to live. So you will provide. Well, the next morning, she gets out of the house, she goes out on the porch, and voila, there's a lot of groceries there, a lot of groceries. And she starts praising the Lord, and praise the Lord. He delivered groceries to me. And then suddenly, the neighbor jumps out of out from a bush and says, I told you so. There is no God. I went to Walmart and I got myself all those things and I brought it over here. There is no God. So the woman says, oh, praise to God. Not only did God deliver me food, he made the devil pay for it. Well, the reality of it is that we should not worry about anything because God will be there for us. So by now we know that we shouldn't worry about it. We don't need to worry about the financial crisis, world wars, natural disasters, even what we will eat or drink. God has us in his amazing hands. Then what should we prepare for? What is it worth preparing for? And that's what's up there. Preparing for the kingdom of God. How do you prepare for the kingdom of God? We start by putting our faith in God and we put God first in our life. Not school, not work, but God. That's very important. And sometimes even family has to come second. That's a tough one there. But see, well, now most of young people don't remember Romania very much, but back in the 1980s, at least as far back as I remember, we were poor. My family was poor, didn't have all this technology, didn't have electronics. We didn't have electricity. But some of us, back in 1980s, had something more important, and I saw that in my parents. This is for the parents that understand me. This is for you guys. I saw something in my parents, and that was faith, that they were believing in God. And how did I see that? Well, see, I saw that because they prayed. Every day they prayed together. My parents took me and my brother, and we prayed every single night. And then we ate together at the dinner table. We read the Bible together. The churches were full. At 9 o'clock when church started in Romania, and now 10, our church should be full with young people, with old people, with middle people, everyone. It's because we really seek and we need that faith and we need to seek the kingdom of God. The next way we can prepare for God's kingdom is to get our priorities straight. If you want worldly glory, then your priority can be prestige, earthly honors, and huge checking and saving accounts at the bank. However, all those things will vanish in an instant. That's the beauty of it. We saw it since 2004. Things vanished. We actually saw it with our open eyes in this country. Therefore, seek God and his righteousness, and God will take care of your physical and material needs. Now, see, preparing for the kingdom of God takes time and effort. Now we're getting a little bit more complicated here. The Bible in verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God. To seek something means that you're going to take some time and effort to do it. This is a lifestyle. Well, see, it took me 23 years to become a physician. I live and breathe medicine. You can ask my wife. That's what I do every day. See, well, God is asking us to do the same thing about him. I am 32 years old and have been proudly a seeker of God's kingdom since July 20, 1997, when I accepted God in my life. I want to live and breathe Christ and his salvation. But to seek something means that you have to do the work. You have to go find it. It won't come to you. Well, also, let's go a little further. Also, pay close attention to the Word of God. It says, seek the Word of God. It doesn't say anything about find the kingdom of God. That's very important. Because all God is asking you to do is seek. And not necessarily find it. Because God knows, and Jesus knew, that you can't find the kingdom of God on earth. You can look for anywhere you want. You're not going to find the kingdom of God here. This is a sample, just a small sample of how heaven is going to be. It's amazing. But the kingdom of God, you seek and you seek for it and you strive for it and you live that life. Because one day we want to be in that kingdom. To live in his righteousness, the last way to prepare for his kingdom of God is to seek God's righteousness. In order to see God's own righteousness, you must have a relationship with God. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. To live in his righteousness is to know exactly what God wants of you. It's to live and breathe Christ and his salvation. If we prepare and seek the kingdom of God, we have his promise that all things will be given to us as well. God will take care of us. What are we preparing for? I hope we are all preparing for the kingdom of God. Amen.